There's a podfuckery afoot. What would happen if a crew of podfickers were to record the same story in their own style? The start and finish of the fix are all the same, but we've teamed up with a crew of writers to give you something a little different in the middle. The writers and podfickers won't be revealed to each other until posting day. This is the Podfuckery, narrated by Little Fingies. The long nights of winter are some of the crew's favorites, actually, because there's fuck all to do. There's dinner, yeah, usually delicious, always slightly surprising, always served with Roach's trademark mix of threatening and nonchalant, with a dash of sweetness these days. There's the final tasks of the night, making sure everything is squared away, shipshape, and all that. But this time of year, there's not as much trade, so they're a little less likely to need to react on a moment's notice. So, it's not that they let things slide, much. Rather, it's that things get a little looser as the nights stretch toward the new year. And then, of course, there's reading time, which, well, sometimes it's delayed a bit. Captains? Frenchie knocks again at the door. And inside, there's the scuffle of movement and... is that a bell? Something jingling, anyway. And a giggle. And a thump. And Frenchie glances over his shoulder at Wee John. Shrugs. And decides... he'll come back in a few. Maybe. Or send Lucius? It's his turn to want to gouge his eyes out, actually, he figures. The thing is, though, they're working their way through the one with the wooden boy, and this time, Steed has promised they're going to finish it before the new year, which is, by Frenchie's calculations, and by the Gregorian calendar, that weaselly, slippery thing, all its leap years and sneaky bits, and by the ship's logbook, too, it's tomorrow. So, they've got pages to go before they sleep, is all he's saying. And they've got plans tonight, too. Plans that are non-negotiable. He knocks again. And this time, silence. He swings his lute down from his shoulder and strums thoughtfully. He might need some reinforcements for this. Fang is on watch duty tonight. He likes the first watch of the night, actually. Likes the quiet of it. Likes the way things don't tend to go wrong yet. And likes the way that he can settle down afterwards and sleep through till the morning, if everything goes all right. Curled up beside Roachy or Lucius, or tucked tight between Frenchie's elbows and Wee John's warmth. It's a good place, this ship, even if it's not like any other ship he's ever been on. Maybe especially because of that. So when he hears the crash from below, he literally has no idea what to expect when he rushes down. He follows the sound of voices to the captain's cabin, finds most of the crew gathered around the door, which is not particularly odd. It's a ship without a strict chain of command, usually, and so they're always up in each other's business. He still remembers fondly the way he'd stretched out on Steed's soft silk sheets for Lucius to sketch him that first week on the ship. "I don't know, babe," Pete is saying. "I wasn't, like, watching them." "But they were in there," Lucius says. "I heard them in there." "We're going to miss our reading time?" says Swede. "If we don't find Captain soon, we'll never know if the wooden boy gets flesh." "They probably fucked off into one of the stupid tunnels," says Jim. "We can finish the fucking thing tomorrow, whatever." "Captain said by New Year's?" Swede moans. "It is New Year's Eve?" "Guys," Olawande raises his voice over the chatter. "I'm sure they're fine, I'm sure." "Is that blood?" Zheng says from inside the cabin, where she's kneeling by a stain on the floor. Nah, says Roach, pushing his way in beside her. It's ketchup. He crouches down, drags a finger through the thick, red substance. Too thick and red to be blood. Specifically, homemade ketchup, from my secret recipe. That is odd. Not quite as odd as you keeping fucking ketchup under lock and key, but still, odd, Jim says, wrinkling their nose as Roach wipes his finger clean on a questionable rag left on the floor nearby. If you people weren't a bunch of condiment-stealing animals, I wouldn't have to. Roach gets on his feet, searches his own pockets. Aha! Key's still here. Feng eyes the key and takes note of which pocket Roach stuffs it back into. The locked mini-fridge in the kitchens contains more than just ketchup, and he'd sure like a nightcap in the shape of one of those delicious, creamy chocolate mousses he saw Roach fuss over earlier. Once they find the captains, that is. Wait, what's this? Pete fishes a piece of paper out of the drawer by the bed. Some kind of chessboard? Lucius isn't sure the drawer was open before Pete got there. He loves his husband, but he is nosy as hell. Luckily, so is Lucius. He snaps the paper out of Pete's hand. A map, I think. A treasure map? The Swede asks with excitement. A map of the ship. And he grabs Lucius's hand to angle it so she can read. Of the cargo. All the containers. Zheng pushes the Swede aside to get a look for herself. This makes no sense. The containers are all registered in the database, and these are different numbers and letters? Symbols? It's bad enough that Bonnet sorts them by color. Why would he make an entirely new system and scribble it on a piece of paper? If it's not a treasure map, why is there an X? The Swede points to a square, and sure enough, there's an X-shaped symbol, though when Lucius looks closer, it appears to be two tiny crossed swords. He shakes his head. This is the weirdest fucking ship he's ever been on. Well, it's the first ship he's been on, so his experience is limited, but judging by the tales he's heard from the rest of the crew, it's pretty fucking weird. He highly doubts it's profitable. For starters, Steed's so-called high-end shipping company only consists of this one ship, and it's never been fully loaded. According to Jim, it's also ridiculous for a ship of this size to have a crane installed on board. But according to Steed, the ship is more versatile this way. The captains certainly know all about being versatile. Lucius can vouch for that, having walked in on them more times than he'd like, which is any amount higher than zero. It's the same reason why he's hesitant to race right off to the container marked with two crossed swords to find the captains, not wanting to be proven right about his suspicions. Unfortunately, the rest of the crew doesn't seem to have the same concerns. Well, what are we waiting for? They've got to be in one of those marked ones on the map thingy, Archie says, snatching it out of Lucius's hand before he can react. Jim is by her side immediately. We should split up. It'll be faster. Nah, we should stay together, Alu says. Safer that way. He looks around. Shit, where did Roach go? Right then, Roach bursts into the room. It's gone! He falls to his knees, head in his hands. My mini fridge! It's been stolen! It is up to Pete to lead them, obviously. The crew look to him as a leader in dangerous times. He might as well be first mate, if it weren't for the fact that he's not. But, like, he could be. Here he is, at the front of the group. Except for Archie, who's technically a few steps ahead of him, and Jim and Frenchie in front of her. But spiritually, Pete is leading them. Lucius is clutching his hand as they move through the dark, following the cone of light from Frenchie's torch. Pete chose not to carry the big torch, okay? It's not like Frenchie just took it without noticing that Pete had already reached for it. Pete needs his hands free to protect them all in case something happens. Which is also why he let Zheng take the map. He's far too busy to be the navigator right now. He needs to make sure Lucius knows he'll protect them both with his life, making sure to regularly squeeze his hand. Not because he's scared, no, but because he knows his husband needs reassurance. Especially now, it seems, as they're standing in front of the first container marked on the map, the one with the X. It's deck level, but unlashed. Accessible, which Jim remarks is unusual. Pete already knew this, of course. He's been on, 100 container ships. Probably more. It's just that Lucius needs his full attention, covering his eyes as Frenchie carefully goes to open the doors. "Don't be scared, honey. I'm sure the captains are all right," Pete reassures him. "Nobody messes with Blackbeard." Lucius peeks through his fingers. "Oh, it's not that. It's... Oh, dear Lord!" Pete whips around, fists raised, ready for anything. What he sees is some kind of torture chamber? But Blackbeard swore he'd gone legit, and that the rumors were exaggerated in the first place, so it can't be. And also, why are those handcuffs all fluffy and pink? "I fucking knew it," Lucius groans. "A fucking sex room. Why? Why keep it here?" The crew turn away and scatter, grumbling and groaning. Only Archie is looking inside with interest while Roach goes in to make sure his fridge isn't among the many racks and tools and furniture and shelves full of... Wow. Pete wonders if Blackbeard can really take something like that. Impressive. "Okay, not that one." Frenchie is already pushing the door shut as Roach jumps out. "On to the next. Guys, do we really want to check the rest? Won't it just be more of this?" Lucius gestures to the now closed container, shuddering. "We have to. We need to find the captains," Alu says. "And my fridge." "Let's get a move on." Zheng waves them over, eyes fixed on her tablet. I cross-reference the marked containers with the official database, and on the surface, everything appears normal, except they all have the same destination code, and it's odd. I'm not getting any results when I search for it. "Might be a good thing. You wouldn't want that over there delivered to some poor fuck by mistake," Archie says. "We'll just keep looking until we find them." Alu takes Zheng's hand, which makes her smile. The next marked container in the red section is not at all like the first, luckily. It's got several plush armchairs, and it's stashed with mountains of yarn. "Guys, I think we found heaven," Weijuan says as he steps inside, looking around with awe. Pete convinces Lucius to tear his hand away from his face and look. While it's not what Pete would call heaven, exactly, he has grown and matured from before he met Lucius, and he thought sewing and knitting were unmanly pursuits, so now he can appreciate a good yarn stash. "No captains, no fridge." Roach drags Weijuan out of there. "Come on, we're running out of time." The third container is just full of clothes. Steeds, by the looks of it. They move on. The first container they open in the blue section is also full of clothes. This one's flashier, though, organized like an actual walk-in closet, with lights and hardwood floor and a large mirror. No captains. The next one turns out to be two containers combined to house an actual movie theater with a popcorn machine and everything. Still no captains. When they reach the yellow section, the Swede is getting anxious. "What if they fell overboard? We'll never know what happens to the wooden boy." Jackie tries to calm him, and they speed up. After opening two more containers full of clothes, one with musical instruments that Frenchie lingers at, and one full of books, they find one that makes Lucius go instantly from grumpy to excited. "A painting studio?" "No time! Fridge still missing! Next one, let's go!" Roach sounds hysterical. "We'll sneak back, babe, I promise," Pete whispers as he drags him along. The next one is going to be the right one. He can feel it. His intuition is highly tuned. The fact that they can all hear voices coming from behind the doors, slightly ajar, is irrelevant. Roach flings them open. Steed whips around at the sudden outburst of noise, nearly dropping the spoons he's been adding to the place settings on the long, mahogany dining table. Ed, however, is unperturbed, smiling pleasantly as the crew all talk over each other. "Oh, hey guys, we were just about to go get you." "What did you do to her?" The fridge is perfectly fine, but Roach crouches in front of it and hugs it like it's a severely hurt family member. "Calm down, I'll buy a new lock." He had to break it open to get to the chocolate mousses, now placed on the dining table among the elegant decorations and champagne bottles and festive hats. "What the fuck's going on? We've been all over looking for you. What's with this?" Zhang waves at the map. "And why not use the already existing dining room below deck?" Roach crosses his arms. "This is for fine dining, obviously." Steed scoffs, then softens his voice. "The jig is up. I wanted it to be a surprise for Christmas, something for everyone, but we, built an exercise room for ourselves first and kept getting distracted, so we didn't get it ready in time." "We couldn't find you, and you promised we'd finish Pinocchio this year." The crew all nod behind Frenchie. "Okay, sit down for dessert, everyone. Afterwards, I'll show you where we'll do bedtime readings from now on." Welcome to the Pillow Room! Steed opens the door with a flourishing gesture and proceeds to nearly stumble over the threshold. Ed loves him so much, wants to tackle him into one of those giant, soft-looking piles of pillows, blankets, and duvets that cover the fluffy carpets. Maybe some other time. He has a feeling the crew wouldn't appreciate witnessing it. An excited murmur fills the room as the crew spill inside. And, yeah, they better be excited. Steed has all these brilliant ideas, it's only right that they're impressed. At the back, there is a large couch. Steed takes his hand and guides him there. Sounds like there are some squabbles over the best spots among the crew, but whatever, they'll figure it out. Ed only has eyes for Steed. He settles in next to him on the couch, snuggles up to his side, and rests his head on his shoulder, only huffing a little bit when Steed briefly leans away to grab the book and a blanket. All right, settle down, crew," Steed says, rearranging the blanket so it drapes over both of them. "We're all anxious to see how it ends." An expectant calm spreads over the crew, eyes closed or on Steed, hands still busy or busy with repetitive tasks, bodies curled together or splayed out. Steed takes a deep breath, settles his glasses on his nose, and begins. The end.